This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, as we continue with the series called Building My Life on Values That Last, Rick shows us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about an amazing opportunity to come alongside this ministry in our efforts to see lives change through the gospel. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to the message, or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called The Balanced Life.
Exodus chapter 20. Read it with me, verse 9 and 10. You have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is to be a day of rest dedicated to me. Now, this is very interesting. Of all the things that God said, here are the top 10 moral commands. And he says, you know, don't have any other gods before me, and don't make any idols. And he says, don't murder, and don't commit adultery. And then he also says, take a day off every 7 days. Why did he do that? Because God wired you up to be in a rhythm of work and rest, and work and rest. And our best requires rest. Now, this principle is called the Sabbath. If you want to write this down, the word Sabbath simply means a day of rest. A day of rest. And God expects you to observe a Sabbath every 7 days. That means a day of rest. Now, why did he do that? Why did God put that in the top 10? Well, notice there what Jesus said. In Mark chapter 2, he said, the Sabbath was made to benefit who? Man. He says, it's for my benefit. Now, it doesn't matter what day you choose. In fact, the book of Colossians in the New Testament says, God doesn't care at all what day your Sabbath day is, whether it's Sunday, Saturday, Tuesday, or whatever. As long as you do it every week. And he says, every week you take a full day off. Now, what do you do on your Sabbath? Rest my body, recharge my emotions, and refocus my spirit. That's the purpose of the Sabbath, of a weekly day off. And you are to do all three things, or it's not a Sabbath. First, I rest my body. Have you figured out the fact that if you don't take time off, your body will make time off? You see, we are not designed to go without rest. Then he says, not only that, I want you to recharge your emotions on the Sabbath. Now, that takes different things for different people. But you can recharge yourself emotionally through quietness. You can recharge yourself through emotion through rejuvenating recreation and relationships. Take time for relationships. Relationships can rejuvenate you emotionally and get you recharged. And then he says, the third thing I want you to do on the Sabbath is, he said, I want you to refocus your spirit. Now, the Bible word for that is worship. Worship is when I just kind of focus on God instead of all my problems. When I tune into the Creator and His power and His love for me and what He's like. And one of the, have you noticed it? One of the things that worship does is it kind of puts everything else into perspective. It shrinks your problems. Now, God wants you to do all three things on your day off, on your Sabbath. He says, rest your body, recharge your emotions, and worship. Refocus your spirit.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to connect with Pastor Rick online, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. That's PastorRick.com. Over the last several months, we've all experienced worldwide changes and events that have impacted us in profound and sometimes unimaginable ways. For many of us, those changes will impact our lives for years to come. Pastor Rick believes that now, more than ever, people need God's Word and the hope that it brings. That's why he's asked us to invite you to become a partner in Hope. It's so easy to join. You simply let us know how much you'd like to give each month, and we'll set up an easy regular donation plan for you. But if for any reason you're not able to help financially at this time, we absolutely get that. In fact, the most important way you can help Daily Hope is to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. If you can give at this time, please know that your sustained monthly support will help us to continue broadcasting the life-transforming message of the gospel on the radio, on the web, and via podcast. To become a partner in Hope, call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. When you do, we'll send you a very special thank you gift to show our appreciation. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. And thanks so very much for your support.
Now, let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
Now, the fourth thing you need to do is to adjust my values. Now, the reason you need to do this is because in balancing our lives, the reason we get out of balance is our values get out of balance. And you may have to do some thinking about what's really most important in life. Because what happens is we start majoring on the minors. And the Bible says that one of the reasons that we overwork is materialism. You've heard me say this many times. You know, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. See, what happens is we become possessed by our possessions, and the things that we think we are managing are actually managing us, and they control us. Now, one of the reasons why Americans have a hard time relaxing is because in our society, we confuse our work and our worth. They're two very separate things. We think that what I do is the same thing as what I am. We think that my identity is all wrapped up in my career and that my net worth determines my self-worth. And that's all a lie. It's just not true. Your identity has nothing to do with your career. It has to do with who God made you to be and who loves you. He does. And what happens is we think, well, if I achieve a lot, then I'm worth a lot, so I'll just keep working and working and working to prove my worth. Now, many of you grew up with a false concept that got into your mind somehow that says you're worthless. You don't matter. And you may have picked that up from a kid on the playground, or a teacher may have said that to you, you're worthless. Or you may have had a brother or sister said that, or you may have even had a parent who either said it or in so many words basically said, you aren't going to amount to much. And so in the back of your mind, you figured, I'm going to show them. I am going to prove them wrong. And you start working. And you start working, and you worked harder and harder and harder, and no matter what you accomplish, it's never enough. And just about the time you start to relax and maybe add a little bit of balance to your life, that haunting voice comes in that says, keep working, because somebody's going to pass you and show that you really aren't worth anything. And you need to get rid of that idea. Base your worth on what God says about you, not some phony idea that somebody told you a long time ago that you're still living off of. It drives you to keep working. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 4:6. It's better to have only a little with peace of mind than to be busy all the time. He says, the greatest things in life aren't things. As a pastor, I have been by a lot of bedsides when people died. I've seen a lot of people take their last breaths, sometimes in a hospital, sometimes in a home, sometimes at a scene of an accident. And in all of the people that I've watched die in my life, I've never heard a single person say with their dying breath, boy, Rick, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. Not one. I wish I had made that one more sale. I have heard a lot of people say things like, sure wish I'd spent more time with my kids. I sure wish I'd got to know God better. I sure wish I'd focused on the things that really matter. You have to adjust your values. And then comes the in.
Well, I'll let Kay tell you that.
A very important part of living a balanced life is learning how to nourish your inner life, learning how to nourish and tend the inner fire that God puts within each of us. He puts an inner fire within each of us that gives us the passion and the zeal and a reason to get up in the morning. And it's a fire that has to be tended. If you don't tend it, if you don't nourish that fire, you will find that it goes out eventually, and you are then trying to live your life and meet other people's needs from a very little cold embers rather than a blazing fire. That the passion and the zeal will go out of your life if you don't tend this inner fire. Nourish your inner life. Song of Solomon 1 verse 6 says, I had no time for myself. I think most of us can relate to that verse at least some point in our lives, feeling like you have no time for yourself. When you feel that way, it's a warning light that that inner fire is going out, that there are attacks on that inner fire, and if you're not careful, it will go out and there will be nothing left. For me personally, this is a tremendous struggle. In this area, I have struggled with this whole idea of balance. This is something I've worked at for years and years, and I don't have it mastered. I don't have it mastered, but it's what I'm working on. And this particular area of nourishing the inner fire, making sure that my soul is growing, is difficult for me. But I am learning that the more that I tend that inner fire, the more strength and joy that I have to face life. And if you find yourself facing life from a very dead, cold, empty vantage point, know that you have allowed that inner fire to go out, or at least be dimmed. Rick talked about loving God, and that part of loving God and loving your neighbor is loving yourself. That's a verse there on your outline out of Matthew about love God with all your heart and then love your neighbor as yourself. A person who neglects this inner fire is not loving himself or herself, and God tells us where to do it. He knows how important it is. If we allow this inner fire to go out, it's like we're a tire that develops a bald spot. Now, my husband is brilliant. He is brilliant mentally. He is a dunce with mechanical things. His idea of preventive car maintenance is when the car dies on the side of the freeway, oh, it's time for an oil change. And so he used to have this car that we called La Bamba. It was a La Bamba car, and we loved that car. But La Bamba car never got its tires changed or rotated. And one Sunday when we were at Tribuco Hills High School, one of the maintenance men came up and said, Pastor Rick, your car is in major trouble. One of the tires has got a balloon on it about this big. Now, we're so ignorant about cars, we didn't know that if that little balloon on the tire exploded, that it could, like, hit him and kill him and all this kind of stuff. I mean, we're totally ignorant about cars. This maintenance guy took it upon himself to fix that tire for us. He risked his life by changing that tire. Our lives frequently developed those great big ball spots, those balloons that if you touch them, they're going to explode and they're going to wipe everybody out in the process. And when you or I neglect to nourish our inner life, to tend that fire, we develop these spots on our lives. And the way you can tell, if you're so irritable all the time that the least little thing bugs you, if you can't handle anybody disagreeing with you, if you can't handle a delay or an interruption or a stoplight makes you think you're going to push the car, you know, you're going to push the floorboard, the accelerator on the car and get through that lane, that's a sign that you've not been nourishing your inner life. And God says where to do it. Our society encourages us in this. Our society encourages us to live externally, to live from the outside in, to make sure that everything looks really good on the outside and just hope somehow that we can cover up for what's going on the inside. See, in our society, what is valued is the appearance of something, how it looks. I mean, tell me this honestly. What does it matter if you've got an immaculate yard? Every weed is picked. Every little blade of grass is where it should be. And your house is decorated flawlessly. And your car has got a shine that's incredible. and you have got a desk at work that is lined up and everything is just so, what does it matter if all of that externally looks good and on the inside there is death and bitterness and rage and frustration and unforgiveness? God tells us that we are to live our lives from the inside out, not from the outside in. And that has to do with tending that inner fire. Let me ask you, what are you neglecting in your life right now out of busyness? What is it that you have stopped paying attention to or stopped doing completely because you're just too busy? Maybe it's praying. Maybe it's spending time with God. Maybe it's doing stuff with your kids. Maybe it's spending time with your husband or your wife. Maybe it's the friend that you haven't talked to in a year because you're really just too busy. What is it that you've stopped doing because you are so busy? What do you do for fun? What do you do on a weekly basis for fun? We talked about this at the women's retreat a few weeks ago, and I told the ladies that shopping doesn't qualify as nourishing your soul, okay? It may be fun, but it does not in any way make your soul grow and be better. Gentlemen, spending time at your computer may be a blast, and you may be able to cruise the internet like nobody's business, but it doesn't enlarge your soul. It doesn't tend the inner fire. For me, I've picked up something that I have not done for 20 years. In January, I took my acrylic nails off, and I've started taking piano lessons again because it's tending the inner fire. It's nourishing the inside. I do it for fun. I don't do it to ever play for anybody else. I do it because it brings joy back into my life. Charles Swindoll says in his book, Growing Strong Through the Seasons of Life, he talks about how one time he went to a beautiful home where there was a gorgeous stone fireplace with a rock wood mantle over this fireplace. And he could see words carved in that mantle. So he walked up closely to see what words were on that mantle. And it said this: "If your heart is cold, my fires cannot warm you. A three-car garage cannot warm a cold heart. A promotion at work cannot warm a cold heart. A two-week vacation to some fantastic spot cannot warm a cold heart. What will warm a cold heart is contact again with the living God." It says in Psalm 119:16, "I will delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." God called David, the man who wrote those words, a man after his own heart. And if you're finding the fire in your life has gone out, it's cold, it's going out, get back in contact with the living God and let him begin to warm up your heart again. To be balanced, you have to nourish your inner life. And then the sixth is C, commit your daily schedule to God. Each day, you and I have to commit our schedules to God, knowing for an absolute fact that your life is not going to cooperate with your schedule. Know it for a fact. How many of you are list makers? Every day you've got a list of things to do. Some of us are just absolute. We've got to live by that list. And I tell you, this is a place I get so frustrated because anybody who messes with my list, I get so mad. I have my idea of how my life is supposed to go. I'm doing this, 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 this today, and I'm doing it in this order. And I don't want anybody messing with it. I don't want Rick coming up and saying, "Oh, let's do this instead." I don't want my kids going, "Oh, Mom, I forgot to tell you we've got to do this." No, I've got my list. I'm living by this list. Don't mess with it. And I get very frustrated and very bent out of shape. And when God reminds me of this verse in Psalm 31:15b, "My times are in your hands." When I live by that verse, the stress level goes down. When I understand that God knows what I'm supposed to be doing on any given day, I may make my list. You may make your list. Go ahead. But commit it to God, knowing that he alone knows what you and I are supposed to be doing on any given day. In Matthew chapter 9, there's a story of Jesus, and he's on his way going to heal a dying child, a dying little girl. And on the way to heal this dying little girl, a woman who has a chronic illness of over 20 years stops him, and he stops and heals her. And I look at that and I go, Jesus, excuse me, we're on our way to an emergency here. Why can't this lady wait? And the Bible doesn't answer that question. But what it tells me is this: Jesus understood this principle. He understood that the Father knew where he was supposed to be at any given moment in time, and he was willing to be bendable and flexible and let God show him where he was supposed to spend his time. If you want the stress level in your life to go down, allow yourself to be bendable and flexible. Give your schedule to God and say, God, I have my ideas of where I think I'm supposed to be today. I have my ideas of what I think I'm supposed to accomplish. But God, here's this interruption. Do I need to stop and take care of this? Or is this something that you want me to just bypass and put off? Don't make the decision yourself. Let God be the one that helps you know what you're supposed to do on any day. Give that schedule to him. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says that there are seasons, and there's a season for everything. God knows what you're supposed to be doing. God is the one who sets up the seasons in our lives. Let him be the one that tells you what you're to do on every day. There's one last key to living a balanced life that will help your life stay in balance, and that's to enjoy the moment. Rick's going to talk about that.
I've shared this sentence with you before, but I think it might be good to write it down again. I have just enough time to do God's will. Write that down. I have just enough time to do God's will. Now, if I find that there are more things on my schedule to do than I have the time to do them, it means either A, there are things on that list that God doesn't intend for me to do, or B, I'm doing them in the wrong way. Because God would not give me a list of things that are His will to do and then not give me the time to do it. Does that make sense?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. And if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be right back in a moment to close out our time today, but first, over the last several months, we've all experienced worldwide changes and events that have impacted us in profound and sometimes unimaginable ways. For many of us, those changes will impact our lives for years to come. Pastor Rick believes that now, more than ever, people need God's Word and the hope that it brings. That's why he's asked us to invite you to become a partner in hope. Here's Rick to tell you more.
No matter where you're listening to this program right now around the world, I want to thank you for your support of Daily Hope. Your prayers and your financial contributions are literally helping people all over the world learn about the hope that we have in Jesus. Did you know that in just this short time, people from over 200 countries have visited the Daily Hope website? And we have listeners all throughout the United States, India, Africa, South America, Australia, Korea, Hong Kong, Europe, all over the Middle East. In fact, right now, someone's listening to this broadcast and getting to know Jesus because of your prayer and because of your financial support. So I just wanted to say thank you. Your support means so much to me personally, and I want you to know that I take your trust very seriously. Every single dollar you donate to Daily Hope goes right back into the ministry. You know that I don't take a salary from Daily Hope. You're never going to hear about Kay and me owning a private jet or some boat, because we want to invest as much as possible into God's kingdom, because that's what's going to matter for eternity. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth." And I believe Jesus meant it when he said that. Now, we want Daily Hope to reach more and more people. So I would appreciate you prayerfully continuing your support of this ministry. Would you pray about it? Here's the prayer I want you to pray. God, what do you want to give through me? I would love to have you as a partner in hope.
It's so easy to join. You simply let us know how much you'd like to give each month, and we'll set up an easy regular donation plan for you. But if for any reason you're not able to help financially at this time, we absolutely get that. In fact, the most important way you can help Daily Hope is to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. If you can give at this time, please know that your sustained monthly support will help us to continue broadcasting the life-transforming message of the gospel on the radio, on the web, and via podcast. To become a partner in hope, call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. When you do, we'll send you a very special thank you gift to show our appreciation. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.